Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Prince of Peace. There's no peace apart from Him. There's no way to find peace apart from Him. If the cry of your heart is for peace, you must cry out to Jesus. You must call out to the Prince of Peace. Jesus, we do that now. We call upon your name, and we ask that the Prince of Peace come into our hearts. Bring your peace in place of this confusion and worry. In place of this fear, bring faith. In place of this anger and unforgiveness and resentment, bring love, forgiveness. In place of this turmoil, in place of this raging sea, bring a peaceful, still calm. Fill me with your living water. Fill our hearts, Lord Jesus, with the living water, that peaceful, wonderful water of your Spirit. We ask it in accordance with your word and pray in your own name, in that magnificent, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, the very first chapter. Romans, chapter number 1. I believe the Lord wants to answer some questions for us this morning. Children and young people, I want you to be especially attentive, as well as parents. Those of you who have children, especially those who have children that are still in school, I want you to be particularly attentive today. We've been studying on Wednesday evening in the past 12 or 13 weeks, I suppose, at our family night activities. A number of us have been studying out of the book of Genesis, God's plan of creation, how He created the earth and everything that's in it, what His plan and program was for it, why He created it the way that He did. And we've been comparing the biblical account of creation with that which is popularly taught in our educational institutions today and popularly believed by the general population. That is that all that we see around us today of life, that the what we call creation, the world and all that's in it, including the living beings, came to evolve by chance or by orderly evolvement into what we see today from something that was not like this when it began. And today in our country, in state after state after state, there is a raging debate going on in our legislatures over whether we should teach our children that we were created divinely by God Almighty, or whether we should continue to teach them only the theory that we evolved from an ooze or from a combination of ingredients or from a nothing way back billions and billions of years ago. And there's a great debate raging in our political systems about that. In Arkansas and in Louisiana, the state legislatures have passed laws that the state schools, the public schools, will teach in addition to the evolutionary theory of development of life, that they will teach also the, quote, theory of divine creation. And if they teach one, that they must also teach the other. Earlier this year, there was a major trial held in California where a young boy and his parents sued the State Board of Education over the teaching of evolution in our schools as fact and without adequate time given to a contrary view, the view which is believed by born-again Christians. There are bills currently in state legislatures all over our country, including one right here in the state legislature in Georgia that has yet to make it out of committee onto the floor of the legislature, which would require schools to teach the, again, quote, theory of divine creation alongside as an alternate model to the theory of evolution. I want to examine today, what's this big fuss all about? Why is there such a struggle going on right now? And I believe the answer to it is given in the book of Romans, the very first chapter. I believe with all of my heart that the Spirit of God, as in Isaiah the record is given, that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And I believe that the Spirit of God is moving among us, trying to reverse a desperate situation that has its root in the teaching of evolutionary theory in our schools. Now, that's a bold statement to make, and you know me, I would not make that statement unless I had word to back it up. And so before you begin to wonder about that, you wait till I'm done, until we've examined the Word. Then you decide whether I'm on a boogeyman hunt. You know what a boogeyman hunt is? Whether I'm on a boogeyman hunt or whether I am speaking the truth. Now, those of you who are parents this morning, God is going to give you some understanding and some explanation about some of the experiences that you are currently or have or will have with your children. Negative experiences that have their root in what our children are being taught. I realize that in the system that we currently live in, I understand fully that it would not be proper for us in our public schools for us to teach the Christian religion. Frankly, I wish all of our schools were not public. I wish they were all private Christian schools. And I wish we could teach every child in this country the Christian faith. I look at what happens across the sea. I look at what is happening in Soviet Russia. And I see what has happened in that country since the teen years of the 1900s. In less than 70 years, they have completely changed that whole society. They've completely changed the thinking of all of their adults by teaching their children a certain way of life. Could I say, give me the children of this country to teach them in a Christian environment and we could raise a Christian nation? Would that be true? Put Christian teachers and teaching Christian subjects and so on. Now, I realize we can't do that under the terms of the Constitution that we are governed by, and I understand that. But I think you understand the point that I'm trying to make. If you want to change the country, then change what is being taught the children. Now, we have seen a tremendous change take place in our country in the last 50, 75 years. A tremendous change. There's a change in our children. There's a change in our adults. There's a whole new attitude of life. There's a completely reversed understanding of morality in our country today than what it was when many of you were children and when your parents were children. And I did not until recently see the key that is contained in this satanic doctrine of evolution. It is not a theory, it is a lie. It is a lie out of the pit. And that lie has destroyed our people. Now I know that the root of that is deeper. But I'm going to take that one aspect this morning as a symptom, and I want you to see this clearly today. I want you as parents to understand what has happened and is happening and will continue to happen unless we as Christians and we as parents do something about it. I'm not talking about nationally. I'm talking about with our own children. My primary concern as a man is for my own kids. My primary concern as a pastor is for the children of this family. Ultimately, I'm concerned for every child, but first of all, I believe we must be good stewards of the children that God has entrusted to us. And if I can't raise my children properly, then I don't want to try to raise yours. And if we can't raise our own as a family, then we have no business trying to raise somebody else's. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I'm talking to Christians here. I'm not talking to our nation. I'm not talking to our community. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, beginning to read in verse number 18. Now this is what I want you to watch for this morning. When a person or a nation denies the origin of creation in God Almighty, when a person or a nation denies divine creation, it opens the door for all manner of wickedness within that individual's life and within the society of which he is a part. Denying God-ordained divine creation opens the door for every other kind of wickedness. And teaching anything other than God's or the origin of creation in God teaches children to be other than godly. Now watch this. This may surprise you, but you watch the word. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul is saying here that we may know that of the existence of God by looking at the creation which he has made. We cannot see God with our physical eyes. We can't hear him with our physical ears. We cannot touch him with our physical senses. But we can perceive the invisible through the visible which we can see. That God has made himself manifest in his creation, and according to the 19th verse, that he has made it manifest within every man that there is a God. That a person who does not believe in God must be taught not to believe in God. That the fact of God Almighty is already manifest in every man, and the evidence of his being is manifested in his creation. Those of you who have little children, you know what I'm talking about. Daddy, how did I get here? Mommy, who makes little puppy dogs? Daddy, where does the flower come from? Mommy, what's on the other side of the sky? Are those questions that kids ask? They see in the creation that there's something bigger than themselves, and they want to know, what's his name? Who is this guy? They want to know, who is he? We say, oh, a stork brought you. We say, oh, we came from apes. We say on the other side of the sky, there's nothing but more sky. And we teach our children that there's no God when in their heart there is the witness that there is. In every man, God is manifest. And in his creation, there is the evidence of his existence. Now, because of that, Paul says that while we cannot see God, he's invisible, that he can be discerned by the things of the creation of the world, which are clearly seen. Therefore, any man who does not believe in God is without excuse. Any man that will not accept the reality that there is a God is without excuse. That when he stands in the day of judgment before God, he is without excuse because God has given ample evidence of his own existence in the creation. Now, verse 21, Paul tells us what happens to people who are born with a curiosity about God, but who wind up disbelieving in a God who could create and begin to believe in an evolutionary process. Here it is clearly stated. Because that when they knew God, in other words, when they had a concept of God, when they had this understanding and an awareness of God, and they could see him in his creation, they glorified him not as God. They would not accept him as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, what happened to them? In the beginning, they were open towards God. They could see in his creation that there really and truly was a God. But when they would not be thankful to him, when they would not glorify him as God, when they would not acknowledge him as the creator, they became empty or foolish in their imaginations. And they began to imagine, well, if it isn't God, what else is there? If there's no God and he didn't make this, then how did all of this come about? And they begin to develop imaginary theories and imaginary ways which explain the unexplainable, which explain to the satisfaction of man's foolish mind through the use of a lie. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves to be educated, they became dumb. Professing themselves to have great wisdom, by their own mouth and their own actions, they showed themselves to be fools. Now, my Bible tells me in Proverbs, the 9th chapter of the 10th verse, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And if a man will not acknowledge God as creator, if he will not believe in God as creating all that we see, then his understanding will be darkened. He'll become foolish and vain and empty in his imaginations, and he will dream up all kinds of explanations other than the truth. Proverbs 1 and 7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here Paul is telling us that professing to be wise, when they rejected the God of creation, when they rejected divine origination, they became fools. And what did they do when they rejected God? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They turned into idols. Worshippers, making idols because they rejected the incorruptible God. Now, verse 24 begins a key thought. Wherefore God also gave them up, or let them go, to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. These people who exchanged God for their worship and put in his place man. And you see, that's exactly what evolution does. Evolution is a man-centered philosophy. Evolution says that man is the highest of the evolutionary process. And evolution says that everything revolves around man, that he's the key. Where we know what the truth is, that everything is God-centered. He's the key. He's the origin. He's the beginning. The world doesn't center around man. It centers around God. But those who have rejected God as creator have exchanged their worship of the Almighty God for the worship of man. And they worship themselves, and they worship Charles Darwin, and they worship other men of like ilk, and they worship education, and they worship knowledge, and they worship, quote, scientific discovery, and they establish gods in place of the Almighty Divine Creator. And do you know why they do that? Because God has given them up. Because he's let them go. And as they are doing that, verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Homosexuality. Rarely has there been a day where that sin is as rampant as it is today or as open. When I was in school, it hasn't been that many years ago, 25 years ago when I was in school, if there was anybody in our school that was a homosexual, nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. Nobody would ever let that be known. Now they're marching in the streets. Now they're declaring that filthiness and that uncleanness. Where does it come from? It comes from a rejection of God as creator. And that kind of thing has as its root the rejection of God in his divine creation and the substitution of the satanic lie of evolution. And I tell you what, if you teach your kids this evolutionary theory, we're going to have a higher percentage of homosexuals. Do you see that in the Bible? Am I ripping this out of context, or is that what it says? For this cause, God gave them up to their vile affections. For what cause? Because they worship the creature rather than the creator. For that very reason. Now, what has happened in our society? In 1925, there was a teacher in Tennessee, in Dayton, Tennessee. His name was John Scopes, and he was a science teacher. And he was teaching evolution in his classroom, which was against the laws of the state schools of Tennessee. And they brought him to court, and they had a trial. And it was a great show that they had in Dayton, Tennessee. And Williams Jennings Bryant defended him worked the prosecution against him for the state. And Clarence Darrow defended him. He lost his case, but do you know what they did to the man? They fined him $100 and let him go. And evolution began to grow and grow because of the publicity that was given, began to grow and grow and grow in our schools until today. We have produced out of our schools a generation of ungodly, unclean creature worshipers. Now, does God not love the children that are coming out of our schools? I didn't say that. God loves them all. I tell you, if God didn't love me, there wouldn't be any way that I would be a believer today. I am the recipient of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love, and so are every one of you. But we are producing generation after generation after generation of increasingly wicked and increasingly unclean young people. Why? Because of what we're teaching them. Because of what we're doing to them. Now, as parents, I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that our schools and our educational system is the great big boogeyman. You have children that are going to public schools and are growing up to be Christians. Why? Because you're teaching them the truth. But I know some of you parents are having a time of it, trying to combat the things that their kids are coming home with and trying to give them the truth. Keep fighting it! Don't give up on it. Tell the children the truth. Answer their questions out of God's Word. Expose the truth for what it is and expose a lie for what it is. I was interested to find out that Charles Darwin studied theology at Christ School, which is a seminary at the University of Cambridge in England, for 3 years. Charles Darwin studied to go into the ministry for 3 years. But you know what happened to Charles Darwin? Because he rejected God as divine creator, God gave him up and let him go. And hundreds of men and women like him who have denied that awareness of God that they can see in creation and have been unwilling to give Him glory and unwilling to be thankful to Him and have tried to explain the unexplainable with natural means, have tried to understand the spiritual with a natural mind, which the Bible says it cannot be done, and as a result have been given up by God. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Now, you see, it doesn't say that they didn't want to learn about God. It says they wouldn't retain what they already knew. God gave them over to a reprobate mind or a depraved mind to do those things which are not convenient. What things? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Boy, does that catch your attention, parents? I'll tell you, that's the one right there that caught my attention. That phrase right there, disobedient to parents. And last night, one of the sisters here in the body said, you know, I really notice a difference in my children since they haven't been in school. When they were in school, I wondered, how am I going to get through the summer? Rebellion and disobedience and stubbornness, and I haven't had to deal with it this summer. I noticed such a tremendous change in them since they're not having to come home from school every day. Now, what do you think that is? What do you think that is? Children are taught to be disobedient to parents because of their being taught lies. Now, those of you that are in public education, I feel for the vice that you're in. And all I know to do is to pray that God will give you opportunity to teach the truth where you are, to proclaim the truth where you are. You see, if we take our children, beloved, and if we deny this natural knowledge that they see God in creation, and if we substitute for that the lie of evolution, then we can expect to reap the harvest from our children's lives that you see recorded right there. Wickedness, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, maliciousness. How about debate? Do your children all receive everything you say, child, go clean your room up? Immediately, they're just obedient, just run right off and do it, don't they? They want 1,000 good reasons why they should go clean their room, don't they? Do you know why? Here's the answer right here. Because of what they're being taught, it's a seed that is planted in their heart. that denies the existence of God, and denying His existence then denies all responsibility for the eternal payoff. If there's no God, then there's no punishment, you see. If there's no God, there's no justice. There's no judgment that comes against us for evil doing. Then you do your own thing. And there's no consequence. Do you see how insidious this is? Without understanding, verse 31. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable, you can't appease them. Unmerciful. Without heart, heartless, heartless. Can you imagine a 16-year-old boy who, in concert with his friend, plots to kill his father? And the two boys, one night at 11:30 in the night, when his father and mother are kneeling beside their bed praying. Did you read this? Mother and father, 11:30 at night, kneeling in their bedroom beside the bed praying. And their 16-year-old son and his friend are outside the window, and the friend pulls the trigger and puts a bullet through the buddy's dad's head. Now, if that was a one-time occasion, but it's happening all the time. You can't pick your paper up without seeing that. Merciless, heartless. And there's only one thing that's going to change that. That is, our kids must be taught the truth. Our people must be taught the truth, regardless of what it costs. Why are we going to start a Christian school? This is one more reason why. No matter what it costs, financially if we have to bear the reproach of other people, no matter what the cost, we must do it. And as long as our children are still receiving this influence from other places, and not just, I don't mean just in our public schools, but in every other influence, it's against the Word of God. And if we allow that and do not counteract it in our own children's life, we're going to reap a harvest of disobedience and rebellion and stubbornness and debate and deceit. Your children come home and they lie to you. You have a Christian home, and your children stand there in front of you, and they tell you a barefaced lie. And you say, how can they do that? Here's how, right here. It's part of the harvest. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Our young people right now are studying divine creation, the Genesis account of creation. We have in that group, of course, all of those children are in the community schools. And it so happens that one of those students, in particular, one of our girls, is studying evolution right now in her high school. And she and a friend of hers began to express to the teacher this past week that the things that he was saying were theory and they were unproved, and that God was the creator. And the teacher hollered at them across the room, "Airheads! Airheads!" Now you see, a person with a natural mind would think that, because they have been taught to accept nothing except the so-called scientific data which supports the evolutionary lie. And to that natural mind, anybody that believed anything else would be an empty-headed fool. But the Bible says that He's the fool. Now that is the kind of thing, beloved, that I don't take any pleasure in telling you those things, but we are confronted with them. And we must deal with them. And we begin to deal with them when the children are this big. We give them what the Word says. Turn with me to 2 Timothy
Now watch this. I tell you, I just hurt. I really hurt.
2 Timothy chapter number 3.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We living in the last days? How many of you believe that we're living in those days? Perilous times shall come. What will those times be like? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
He's a nice guy. He's just such a nice person. But denying the power of God to create, I don't care how nice he is. If he denies the power of God to create, he's a heathen.
From such turn away. Turn away. Have nothing to do with. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Now, unfortunately, our schools were founded on Christian principles. They were founded to teach the children of believing parents. Our nation was settled by believers. And our schools were founded to teach Christian children how to add 2 + 2 and how to read and how to spell. And in the chase after learning how to spell and add and read, we've forgotten to teach our kids about Jesus Christ. We've lost the principle upon which the schools were founded. I'm well satisfied that public education in the United States is one of the reasons why we are a great country. Because our people are very well educated. But I also believe that what has happened to it in the last 75 years is one of the reasons why we are not as strong as we once were. And it is not getting better, it's getting worse. And that's why every day there are 3 Christian schools springing up somewhere in this country. Every day. Because that must be reversed. And the root of it is in this particular subject. It's got to be turned around. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many people do you know, those of you that have been in school and have studied a great deal, and you have filled your head with facts, and your professors will give you fact, 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 and semester after semester, facts, 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 quote. At the end of the semester, they give you a test. You get an A, B, C, or D, but your professor is still striving to know the truth, striving to know the truth, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, never satisfied that he knows the truth. If you know Jesus Christ, you know the truth. Amen. Because he is the truth. This is what he's talking about here. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. I want you to know, when Jesus Christ comes in power and glory, their folly is going to be manifest. I tell you, when the God who created this place burns it up with fire and great heat and then recreates a whole new one, I tell you, there isn't going to be anybody in the universe going to have any doubts over who he is. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Your kids will be persecuted for believing the truth, and so will you. You'll become a crackpot in the eyes of the world. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse,
deceiving and being deceived. And that's exactly what's happening. They're deceiving each other. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Stand firm, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. All scripture. How many of you believe Genesis is scripture? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Not wicked, unclean, disobedient, deceitful, and debating and all of that, but perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you want to know the truth about the creation, go to the Word. Because all of this Word's inspired by God. And what does the Word say? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God made the heavens, created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 2 and 4 says, these are the origins of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Psalm 14 and 1 said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I don't care how many letters he's got behind his name. I don't care how many colleges he has attended. I don't care how many expeditions he has been on. The fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. If he will not acknowledge the Almighty God as the origin of creation, the Bible calls him a fool. Psalm 19, verse 1, tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. God is manifest in His creation. He is the creator of it all, regardless of what man says. And because mankind would not acknowledge God as the creator, but began to look into himself for another explanation, God has given mankind over to his own foolish imaginations. That's where the evolutionary theory has come from. The result of believing that, glorifying the creator or the creation more than the creator, will produce the fruit of wickedness, as we saw in these verses that we have seen this morning. I believe what God wants us to see today is that evolution is not just an optional theory that can be taught. I believe it's a diabolical, demonic scheme and plot to seduce not only the world's population, but the people of God, if he can. But he can't if you won't let him. Be warned. Be cautioned. Those of you who have young children that are still in school, you be sure that you know as parents what your children are being taught. I believe those that are in public education would encourage you to do the same. And if it doesn't line up with the truth, you make sure it gets corrected, at least in your home, until you have another option. Let's pray. Father, I am thrilled to the fibers of my inner man to know that there is no difficulty or no situation that we face in this life that you haven't already spoken to in your Word, that you haven't already given us counsel for and instruction concerning in the Word of God. We believe that all of your counsel, which is necessary for us to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, is contained in your word. We thank you today, our Father, for revelation, instruction, for caution, and for warning that you have given us out of this first chapter of Romans and the third chapter of 2 Timothy. That the man of God, by believing the word of God, might grow up into a perfectly full, mature, and complete human being, fitted unto every good work, and not open to deceit. We pray today, Father, for those who are deceived and are being deceived and are deceiving others. We pray, Father, that you will open up their spiritual eyes, that they might see the God of creation, that they might see the Almighty God manifested in the creation round about, and that they might choose to give you glory and to give you thanks and to honor you for who you are. Our prayer is made in Jesus' name.